Welcome to History Lost in Time, from one enthusiast to others.
And welcome to the second episode regarding ironclads in the Prussian-German Navy. In episode 7, I talked about early ironclads that were built individually. In this episode, I will talk about the later ones that were built in series, with one exception.
Why this topic today?
No big surprises here. When you start with a series about capital warships of the Prussian-German Navy, you have to finish it.
Political background and commentary.
No agenda. I'm just talking about a topic that interests me.
The sources.
I will use the following three books to supplement Wikipedia a bit. Ulrich Israel, Jürgen Gebauer, Kriegsschiffe im 19. Jahrhundert, translation, Warships in the 19th Century, published by Verlag Gondrum, Bindlach, 1989, licensed version of the military publisher of the German Democratic Republic, Communist East Germany. Israel and Gebauer provide details and technical information again that allow me to check Wikipedia's data. Günter Kroschel, August Ludwig Evers, Die deutsche Flotte 1848 bis 1945, translation, The German Fleet 1848 to 1945, published by Verlag Lohse Eising, Wilhelmshaven 1962, Third Improved Edition 1964. Kroschel Evers will provide hard facts again. Hans-Jürgen Hansen, Die Schiffe der deutschen Flotten 1848 bis 1945, translation, The Ships of the German Fleets 1848 to 1945, published by Verlag Bechtermünz, licensed version for the Weltbild Verlag, Augsburg 1998. Again, Hansen combines the contents of Israel Gebauer and Kroschel Evers. Even before the Franco-German War started, construction started on the ironclads of the Preußen class. This means that this was still being done by the Federal Navy of the North German Confederacy. However, the ships were only completed by the mid-1870s. During construction, changes were made in order to adapt to the new political situation. During the Franco-German War, the German Empire was founded in January of 1871. The Federal Navy of the North German Confederacy became the Imperial Navy under the command of the German Emperor. However, its first commander-in-chief was someone from the army, General of the Infantry von Stosch. That alone shows how weak the navy actually was. It wasn't even able to have a commanding officer coming from its own ranks. Von Stosch planned to create a coastal defense navy that was also supposed to protect overseas trade and to have some offensive capabilities. His plan was to build and commission the following ships until 1882. 8 new large ironclads, 6 small ironclads, 20 corvettes, steam sail hybrids for high seas duty, 6 avisos, small warships built for speed, 18 gunboats and 28 torpedo boats. The ships of the Preußen class, which were under construction at the time, were considered as large armored frigates. 3 of them were under construction, the SMS Preußen, SMS Friedrich der Große and SMS Großer Kurfürst. These ships still had rigging and sails. However, the German Navy wasn't happy with the rigging on these ships, as the following quote from Israel Gebauer on page 92 proves. The frequent rebuilding of the ironclad Preußen, commissioned in 1876 and displacing 7,718 tons, demonstrates that the rigging was only gradually abandoned, even though it had proven particularly cumbersome on this ship. Under sail, it is said to have been very slow. Originally, the ship was rigged as a full-rigged ship with 1,834 square meters of sail. This was subsequently reduced to 570 square meters. The Preußen ships had a length of about 97 meters, a width of 16 meters, and a draft of slightly more than 7 meters. They displaced around 7,700 tons. Their engines produced 5,471 horsepower, which allowed them a top speed of 14 knots and a range of 3,130 kilometers, or 1,945 miles. The crew consisted of 46 officers and 454 sailors. The armor consisted of iron and teak wood. The ships were armed with one 17-centimeter gun at the front, one at the back, as well as four 26-centimeter guns that were placed midships in two turrets, basically at the same place where before there had been a battery deck. So here we finally have gun turrets, however still in an old-fashioned, more classic placement, and not where we'd expect them from a modern point of view, at the front and the back of the ship. However, such a modern placement wasn't possible due to the rigging. Preußen was commissioned in 1876, Friedrich der Große followed in 1877, and Großer Kurfürst in 1878. All three ships were built in Germany, Preußen in Stettin, Friedrich der Große in Kiel, and Großer Kurfürst in Wilhelmshaven. Only a few weeks after being commissioned, Großer Kurfürst accompanied Friedrich der Große and König Wilhelm to England, where they performed training. During an evasive maneuver, coordination between the ships failed, and König Wilhelm rammed Großer Kurfürst. This proved to be fatal, since ironclads of the time were equipped with rams at the front. Damage control measurements aboard Großer Kurfürst failed. For instance, the hatches weren't closed, which led to the ship sinking so quickly that 269 of 500 crewmen died. König Wilhelm was able to make it to Portsmouth even though it was heavily damaged, and was eventually patched up enough to make it back to Germany. This accident caused the German Navy to allow the crews more time to get accustomed with new ships and not rush them into service within a few weeks. This catastrophe also damaged the reputation of the Commander-in-Chief of the Navy, von Stosch, who interfered several times with the analysis and the court-martials regarding this incident. He complained to Emperor Wilhelm I after his actions were openly criticized. Naval officers complained that he tried to rush ships and crews into service and that he treated ships like army brigades that were being mobilized. This led to crews being unfamiliar with their own ships. In the end, von Stosch was unable to win this fight, and after a few years he was replaced by army officer Leo von Caprivi. However, the image of the Navy in the eyes of the public and of the parliament was severely damaged. The high costs of the Navy were being questioned, especially since the expensive Großer Kurfürst hadn't even been commissioned for 4 weeks. This led to a stop of capital warship construction for most of the 1880s. And what happened with the remaining ships, Preußen and Friedrich der Große? Hansen describes their careers briefly on page 63. Preußen served in the fleet until 1891, then became a harbor ship in Wilhelmshaven. She was renamed Saturn in 1903 after the commissioning of the new battleship Preußen. She was used as a coal hulk from 1906 onward and scrapped in Wilhelmshaven in 1919. The same dates apply to the ironclad Friedrich der Große, which was scrapped only 1 year later, in 1920 in Rönnebeck. Both Parliament and General von Stosch pushed for all future warship construction to happen in Germany. A final exception were the two ships of the Kaiser class, which were built in England. These ships had been planned and ordered by the North German Confederacy, and the original plan was to build them in Germany. However, as all shipyards were busy, the order was outsourced to an English shipyard. The ships were built by the Semuda brothers in Poplar near London. They were launched in 1874 and commissioned in 1875 as SMS Kaiser and SMS Deutschland. They had a length of about 90 meters, a width of 19 meters, and a draft of 7.4 meters. They displaced about 9,000 tons. Their 5,600 horsepower engines allowed them a top speed of 14 knots and a range of 4,570 kilometers or 2,840 miles. The crews consisted of 32 officers and 568 sailors. These ships also had rigging and sails. The main armament consisted of 8 26-centimeter guns, which were placed in armored casemates along the broadside of the ship. The difference to old-fashioned battery ships was that the casemates were armored and that the guns had improved mobility. Maximum firing range was about 5 kilometers. At the front, the ship had one 21-centimeter gun. Both ships served from the 1870s to 1890s with the Coastal Defense Force and also took part in a few missions and training exercises all over Europe. During the 1890s, they were rebuilt as large cruisers. The rigging was removed and they received additional weapons. This new armament consisted of a mix of 15 cm, 10.5 cm, 8.8 cm and 37 mm guns, as well as torpedo launchers. After this overhaul, both ships served with the High Seas Fleet, mostly in Asia. In 1904, their fleet service ended and they became harbor ships. Deutschland was scrapped in 1909, however Kaiser survived until 1920, now under the name Uranus, and was only then finally scrapped. Now let's talk about the Sachsen class. This class was designed to fight enemy blockades and amphibious operations in the Baltic Sea. In order to operate in these shallow waters, these ships needed to have a smaller draft than the heavier armored frigates. Speed and range weren't that important, as operations would take place close to naval bases. However, armor was important, as these ships needed to be able to oppose numerically superior enemy fleets. However, more armor also meant a bigger draft. Same goes for the armament. More guns and heavier caliber also mean more weight and therefore more draft. So coastal defense ships are always a compromise. For the first time, the rigging was skipped, meaning these ships didn't have sails anymore and completely relied on their steam engines. That also meant that there was now a lot of space on deck that could be used for weapons and superstructure. Hansen describes the ships quite well on page 70. They were characterized by four funnels arranged in a square and box-like superstructures. The Sachsen was the first to be launched at the Valken shipyard in Stettin in July of 1877, followed by the Bayern and Württemberg at the Kaiserliche Werft shipyard in Kiel in May and November, and the last one, the Baden, in July of 1888. The iron-built ships displaced an average of 7,800 tons, were 98 meters long, and had a top speed of 13 to 14 knots. They were propelled by two single expansion engines via two four-bladed screws. The armor was made of wrought iron, and the crew numbered 32 officers and 285 men. The ships were initially armed with six 26-centimeter guns each, two of which were mounted in armored casemates amidships and two in a turret forward. In addition, there were six 8.7-centimeter ring cannons and eight 3.7-centimeter revolver cannons, and from 1886 onward, a swiveling stern torpedo tube and two bow torpedo tubes. In the 1890s, the ships were rebuilt and since then only had one large funnel and rapid-fire armament. They were decommissioned around 1910 and then served as target ships. The appearance of the ships was very unconventional. As Hansen said, there were four small funnels that were placed in a square at the center of the ship, so two in a row and two next to each other. The main armament, six 26-centimeter guns, was also placed in an unusual way. At the front, two of the guns were placed side by side, without a turret though, and behind the funnels, so more at the back of the ship, the remaining four guns were placed in a square shape. Again, no turrets. The secondary armament consisted of six 8.7-centimeter guns and eight 37mm guns. The armor consisted of the usual mix of iron and teak wood. In theory, the goals of this design were achieved. However, the Navy wasn't really happy with these ships, and the crews didn't like them at all. They were far too specialized for one role and not versatile. Their range of 3,590 kilometers or 2,230 miles was quite good, more than a coastal defense ship needed. However, their sailing characteristics were quite bad. The only good things were the small turning circle and the ship's ability to react quickly to the rudder changes. However, the bad sailing characteristics negatively affected overall maneuverability, the accuracy of the guns, and the ship's speed. Another problem was the fact that the ships took on a lot of water. The ships quickly gained a bad reputation. They were only commissioned in rotation, not all at the same time. Despite their weaknesses, they helped the Navy to gain experience with building and operating capital ships. In the 1890s, all four ships were used together in one division. This corresponded to the fleet concept of Emperor Wilhelm II and Admiral von Tirpitz, according to which ships of the same class should be deployed together within a division. The Sachsen ships formed the first division, until the new battleships of the Brandenburg class were commissioned and formed the new 1st Division. The Sachsens then formed the 2nd Division. In the late 1890s, the ships were then rebuilt, as mentioned earlier already. As a result of this reconstruction, one large funnel replaced the four old ones, and the additional changes to the superstructure and the armament meant that the ships looked totally different. New engines also meant that the ships were faster. SMS Bayern now achieved a top speed of 15.4 knots. The iron armor was replaced with steel armor made by the Krupp company, and the old 8.7 cm guns were replaced by rapid-firing 8.8 cm guns. With their combat effectiveness greatly increased, the ships received new life. In 1901, there was an accident when SMS Sachsen rammed and sank the Aviso SMS Wacht. The helmsman of the Wacht had misjudged the speed of the Sachsen, and despite the Sachsen trying evasive maneuvers, the collision was inevitable. However, the entire crew of the Wacht was saved. Sachsen remained in fleet service until 1902 and was then decommissioned. After a few years in reserve, she was used as a target ship starting in 1911. She was finally scrapped in 1919. Bayern remained active until 1906 and was then placed into reserve. Starting in 1910, she was also used as a target ship and finally scrapped in 1919. Württemberg was decommissioned in 1903 and placed into reserve. In 1906, she was rebuilt as a torpedo test ship. In 1912, she briefly served as an icebreaker in the Baltic Sea. It was planned to decommission her in autumn of 1914. However, the outbreak of World War I prevented that. She served the entire war as a training ship. After the end of the war, she served as a supply ship and a barracks ship in order to support the minesweepers that cleaned the North Sea and the Baltic Sea of mines. She was finally decommissioned in late 1919 and scrapped in 1920. Baden was decommissioned in 1903 and placed into reserve. She briefly served as a target ship, but was then used instead as a depot for mines. During World War I, she served as a harbor defense ship. Starting in 1920, she was used as a stationary target ship. She served in this role during the entire time the Weimar Republic existed, and also for the Navy of the Third Reich. She was finally scrapped in 1939 and 1940 in Kiel. Let's finish this episode with the last ironclad that was built, the SMS Oldenburg. This ship was the first one to be built with steel and the last case-made ship that was built in Germany. The question whether it would or would not be built was open for a long time. Following the disaster of the Großer Kurfürst, the German parliament and the German public were very skeptic of the navy. On top of that, there was a new naval philosophy coming from France, the so-called Jeune École, meaning young school. According to this philosophy, large capital ships were obsolete, and the future belonged to small ships armed with torpedoes. So instead of building a few capital ships, navies should build lots of small torpedo boats in order to achieve naval supremacy. Within this ideology, large capital ships were dinosaurs from another era. The unsatisfactory experiences with the Sachsen class seemed to support this new philosophy. The bad reputation of the Sachsen class led to a discussion about the properties of the Oldenburg. The Naval High Command was forced to abandon its plans to build two ships of this class, and due to budget cuts by the Parliament, was also forced to make the Oldenburg smaller. In the end, the ship was an oddity of little usefulness. She had a length of about 80 meters, a width of 18 meters, and a draft of 6.3 meters. She displaced around 6,330 tons and was therefore a lot smaller and lighter than her half-sisters of the Sachsen class. Her engines only produced 3,942 horsepower, about 1,000 horsepower less than the engines of the Sachsen class, and her top speed was only 13.8 knots. Her range was 3,280 kilometers or 2,040 miles. The crew consisted of 34 officers and 355 sailors. Her appearance was less noticeable than that of the Sachsens, as she had two funnels in a row and not four arranged in a square. Also, the square-like superstructure was missing. She was armed with 8 24-centimeter guns, not the 26-centimeter guns of the Saxons. Her secondary armament consisted of 4 15-centimeter guns, 2 8.7-centimeter guns, and 4 35-centimeter torpedo launchers. Her 24-centimeter guns were placed in an odd way. On each side, 3 on the battery deck and 1 on deck. This placement, everything at the broadside basically, was considered obsolete when the ship was launched. However, the budget restrictions didn't allow any other way of placing the guns. The armor consisted of steel and teak wood. Oldenburg was launched in 1884 and commissioned in 1886. She joined her half-sisters of the Sachsen class and was also commissioned and decommissioned in rotation alongside them. In 1892, her engines were damaged during a training exercise. She was repaired, but only reactivated in 1897. She joined an international naval force in the Mediterranean that was put together to react to the outbreaking war between Greece and Turkey. When she was surrounded by modern European ships, it became extremely obvious how obsolete she was. In 1899, she ran aground during a storm. In order to free her, the crew had to dismantle the weapons as well as the ammunition. The unarmored ship was decommissioned and used as a harbor and depot ship. Due to her design limits, it's likely that the idea of rearming and modernizing her seemed to be pointless. In 1912, she started life as a target ship and was finally scrapped in 1919.
Finishing words.
The ironclads ended up being not very successful. Their service lives were short and they proved to be ships with severe limitations. However, for a short time, they formed the core of the German fleet. Under the influence of the Jeune École philosophy, there was a 10-year gap in capital ship construction in Germany. However, when other countries started building battleships, Germany had to react. In the final years of Emperor Wilhelm I, Reichschancellor Otto von Bismarck and Navy Commander-in-Chief Leo von Caprivi, plans for the new coastal defense ships and battleships were created. In the next naval episode, I will discuss the coastal defense ships of the Siegfried and Odin class before starting with the battleships.
Thank you for your interest.